This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Look what the Lord has done. Isn't it amazing? So we love you both very much. And my blonde bomb is here. And married 28 years this year. And she's just getting younger and more beautiful. And so I'm so glad that she's here. I've got my eldest son here, Pastor Nikki, and his wife. She's pregnant, so we're becoming grandparents in a couple of months. And Pastor Nikki's here. He's running the church for us. And then I have Michal, my youngest son, here. And I'm so glad to have them here. And then Gabby is here. He eventually found somebody. And so we are so excited that a wedding is coming up soon in Jesus' name. Amen. But praise the Lord. It's great to have you all here tonight. You may take your seats. God bless you. What a wonderful time of worship. Wow, there's nothing like the presence of God. The theme for this conference is governmental church. And I believe it's not by accident, Apostle, that you are turning 12 years old as a ministry. Because the number 12 is governmental meaning as well. And so I believe that now, from now, you're going to see a different church. It's not going to be a pastoral church, but an apostolic church. And things are going to start shifting in this nation. I believe that God has raised up Apostle Felix as a voice for our nation. This church will definitely be a voice for our country. And I believe that this conference, honestly, is designed in heaven to shift some stuff over this our nation. And in the next couple of days, things are going to happen here. How many of you believe that with us here? Amen. I want to start off by sharing tonight a couple of things on these lines of governmental church. And I won't keep you long. I know it's the first night, and we want to go and have the cake afterwards. So we need to get the job done. The beginning of this year, the Lord spoke to me, and He said to me, I'm sending a revival to the church. It was in February of this year. I was in America when the Lord spoke to me, and He said it will be a revival of worship. For me, in my mind, I didn't understand what it meant. It was, okay, we're going to worship the Lord or something. And I came back in March into South Africa. And on this 12th of March, I prayed a prayer in our church. And I said, Lord, if you want to send revival, you can use this building. You can use the chairs. You can use the cameras. You can use the parking lot. We surrender everything we have for the move of God. And 3 weeks later, a Sunday night, God visited the church in a very significant way. And a move of God started happening. And we started worshiping the Lord just like tonight. And it carried on and carried on. And the Sunday night, which is normally the low crowds, I said to them, let's gather tomorrow night, Monday night, and we'll just come here and we're just going to carry on worshiping the Lord and see what the Lord wants to do. That was the Sunday I announced it. Monday night when we came to church, that building was packed. No advertisement, no ads, no social media, nothing. Just people hungry to have an encounter with God. And that Monday night did not stop, and we ended 9 weeks later. 9 weeks uninterrupted meetings of the presence of God, where God just came and He sovereignly touched the hearts of people. And the reason why I share this with you is because if we want to be a governmental church, it's going to cost us to have encounters with God and allow God's Spirit to start infiltrating our lives, our churches, and step out of the way and let Him do His job. For 9 weeks, I honestly didn't think I'll be able to handle a week or two. But every night, God strengthened us. Every night, the attendances were strong. And the Lord said to me, don't receive one offering. I said, God, in my mind's like, how are we going to do this? He said, when my people worship me, I will cause them to give. I did not receive one offering for 9 weeks. And in 9 weeks, we had the biggest income ever of our ministry. As a matter of fact, in the revival, people started giving large amounts of money. And I looked amazed at what God was doing here. Without me touching one thing, not even preparing the band or the messages, we just came to see God. And money started coming in. Souls started coming in. Let me get the accurate stats for you. I don't want to say something that's not there. We had 14,214 miracles. Documented miracles. Prayer requests. 58,690 cities reach around the world. There's over 400,000. We've got 58,000 of them. There's only 195 countries in the world. We have had 194 countries joined into this move of God without any advertisement, without any cost to spare. When God moves, let me tell you, then everything backs up. And I have seen, and I want to bring that introduction, I have seen that when God starts moving, how cities are changed, how people's lives are changed. And I want to read you the stats here quickly. Listen to this. We've asked the South African police force in our city to give us the stats weekly of what is happening while the revival was going on. This is the stats from South African police force in our area. Attempted murder went down by 100%. Gender-based violence down by 25%. Arson 100%. Total burglary residential down by 38.5%. Theft out of motor vehicles down by 71.4%. Total property related crimes down by 28.6%. Commercial crime down by 50%. Car hijackings down by 100%. Truck hijackings down by 100%. Rapes down by 25%. Total trio crimes, that's robbery, murder and rape, down by 50%. This is what's going to happen when a governmental church rises up. The answer is in the Lord. The answer is in a move of God. I'm telling you tonight, the answer is in a revival that's going to sweep through this nation. A lot of people say South Africa is done. There's no hope for South Africa. But I've come here to tell you there is hope. God is not done with South Africa. The best is yet to come. And may God change our nation this week. May another wave of His glory come. May another wave of the presence of God hit us. Come on, if you're hungry for a move of God, stand a little bit to your feet, shout, God, send revival. I believe the young people, you're going to carry the move of God. God is going to raise up tonight. Come on, Daniels and Esther's and Jeremiah's and Ezekiel's. That's going to change the narrative of our nation. Come on, let's pray for 1 minute in the Holy Ghost for revival. Lord, send revival in Parliament. Send revival in the schools. Send revival in the universities. Send revival in every church. Send revival, Father, to homes, to individuals, to our cities, oh God. Change this nation this week, oh God. Let the governmental church arise. We are done with the seeker-sensitive. We are done with the motivational. Raise up governmental churches, oh God. Oh, Rabakata, Rabakataya.
even this week, let the crime go down in this area. Let the unemployment in South Africa stop. Change it, O God. Bring creative ideas. Bring inventions, O God. Change the economy of our country. La prosteke pramanda la basatara bababandaya. In the name of Jesus we pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We're hungry for a move of your spirit, O God. Nothing of a man. Nothing of an organization. Nothing of a denomination. Your pure spirit, O God. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 I declare a move of God is coming. You know, I don't know if you saw the prophecy on my social media platforms, but I was with Dr. Rodney R. Brown because he followed the revival. He helped me a lot in guiding me along the way. And then when I was there now, I think in August, I like what Apostle says. He says, I would have loved to go into hell and slap the devil. May God raise up some of those remnant people tonight that put him in his place. Amen. I want to speak to you and expose some stuff. I believe if we don't have the knowledge of how the enemy works, then he's going to outsmart us. And I want to bring just a couple of things to show you the strategy of the enemy in the last days. Once you identify these steps he moves in, we can counteract and we can attack and we can get the victory in this hour. We have to understand that we are not the favorite team anymore, the church. We are the visiting team. If you go and play rugby or football, the visiting team always gets booed at. They don't get all the applause. The church have lost ground somewhere that we are not the favorite team anymore. We are not the ones that are being shouted at and cheered. We are the ones that's getting booed at, quiet, make us quiet. All those things are happening. But I believe with my whole heart, God is turning that thing. That the losing team is going to become the winning team again. And the church will have its rightful place one more time before the coming of the Lord. He's coming back for a glorious church. He's not coming back for a defeated, broke, disgusted church. He's coming back for a glorious church. Therefore, we have to gain ground again. We have to gain momentum again. We cannot be passive in this hour. You know, things are happening very strong. There's a fast and furious attack upon our religion, upon our freedom of speech. You know, this week, last week, I've been involved with meetings with Parliament and discussing all this hate crime and all these things. We're going to have to make our voices loud, church. We're going to have to stand strong. Otherwise, the day will come that we will not have the opportunity to speak to people about Jesus. You know, I was in Malaysia with Maldonado. I preached there with him. And I remember what we were... They told us when we arrived, you're not allowed to say the name of Jesus anywhere. You'll be arrested. So we couldn't even go on the streets and lead people to the Lord. We have got a stadium. Nikki was there with me. We got a stadium with him, 30,000 plus people gathering there, Christians. But around the stadium, there's big banners that says, this is a Christian event. No Muslims allowed. This is not allowed. Otherwise, arrest will take place. So I was in a communist country. I saw how it works. Yet we preached the gospel. People got saved and healed, but very controlled. And I'm standing here to tell you tonight that if we don't stand up, we are going to face some of these challenges in our country. That we will not have the freedom to lead people to the Lord and bring deliverance and healing and salvation to the lives of people. And there's a strategy the enemy has. I'm going to show it to you. And if we can get the strategy and counteract it, you will see victory come in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's go to the book of Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1 and verse number 1
I'll be reading a couple of verses there. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave, look at this, Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God. So here the people said, we don't want God, we want another king. The Bible says, and the Lord gave them over to that king. They said, we don't want you, God, give us another king. He says, okay, you can have it. Then look at this. He says here, vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, the house of his God. Not our God, his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. In other words, the church says, we don't want God, and all the stuff that we have in this house, we're going to give over to the king. And they took the articles of the house of God, and they took it to his kingdom. That's exactly how the church is. Not the church, I think our nation. We don't want God, we'll have our own way. And God says, I'll give you over. Things are going to happen. And let me tell you this with all honesty in my heart. If we are taking the tithes from the Lord, we are doing exactly what this scripture is saying. We give our articles of the house of the Lord to another God. How is it that non-profit organizations can pay 190 billion rand? And we don't get one interest rate on that. Every time you are in debt and they use the interest of your credit card, your bond, your car, that interest that's accumulating, they fund whoever they want. I don't believe in the ABCs. They can take your interest and fund them. It's the Antichrist system around the world, not just South Africa. Debt is the system to fund the Antichrist. That's why we preach it. Get out of debt. Stay out of debt. Why? Because we're not going to fund the moves. We're not going to fund the groups. We must fund the house of the Lord. Come on, I want to speak to governmental people here tonight. That's not afraid to speak here. So we have to come and take our wealth back and not give it to the gods. But the scripture says, they take the money, the articles of the house of God, and give it to their gods. Verse number 3. Of Daniel chapter 1, verse 3. And the king spoke unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and the kings of the king's seed, and of the princes. That's us, kings and priests. Now look at this, young people, here we go. Children in whom no blemish was found, well-favored, skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge, understanding science, and such as had the ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. So here he says, all right, this is what we're going to do. I want young people. And I want young people who are looking good, skillful, sharp, hitting top marks. We're going to take them and we're going to focus our attention on them. Verse 4. Look at this. Let's go to verse 4 there for me, please. Verse 5. And the king appointed them daily provisions of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Here we see something interesting, that there were 4 boys being raised up in this system. They didn't choose to be there. You didn't choose to be there. But now we have the 4. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they are now part of the system. The king says, I want those kids. I want them that look nice, sharp, I want them to come to my palace. And then he says this,
I'm going to offer them the best jobs. I'm going to give them the meat of the palace. I'm going to give them a job when they're done with 3 years of training. I'm going to take care of their lives. So I'm going to provide everything for them. But I want them. I want these young people. And there are four or five things I want to show you from this passage of Scripture. And stay with me. I'm going to expose this devilish system in the atmosphere that is after your family. Here we see a secular society started to brainwash these people. The culture. Whether we like it or not, we are living in a culture around the world that we are being brainwashed. You say, it's not true. This is how you know if you are brainwashed. If 6 months ago you watched something and it offended you, and 6 months down the line now you say, let's just be all inclusive. Let's just be acceptable. Now you're brainwashed. We have God denying media. Not all, but God denying media. That's brainwashing us. We have God denying education systems. Not all, but that is educating our children. God denying principles. And so may God raise up a church again. May God raise up the people again that will say, no, we are 80% Christians in South Africa, then we are no longer going to be the minority. We're going to be the majority that's going to stand up for the principles of the word of the Lord, and we're going to make our voices loud, and we're going to make our voices heard, because we are a governmental church. You know what I love? I don't know if you saw it. I saw this one African lady walked into a classroom in America, and she ripped off the LGBT flag. She tells the teacher, you teach my children history. The teacher freaks out. She says, I'm paying you to teach my child history, not your agenda. May God raise up more of those African ladies here tonight that will just walk into a school and say, excuse me, I'm paying your salary. Teach my child maths. Teach him how to multiply and add and subtract. Hallelujah. Yeah. Teach him about the history of our country. Not the agendas and the opinions of the minority. I only have one service, and I've got dignitaries helping me if something happens. Speaker, please help me. Your King Nebuchadnezzar took them and he de-Israelized them, and he made them, the Bible says, he trained them in the language and in the literature and in the culture of Babylon. The first thing they do, I'm not talking against the government, please hear me. I'm talking about an antichrist system. The Babylonian system, the first thing it does, write it down, it does isolation. Isolation. First thing. The first thing the devil does is bring isolation. He says, if I want to take this generation, I'm going to have to isolate them. I'm going to take them out of their homes, take them out of their families, take them out of their places of worship, take them out of the places where they grew up, and I'm going to isolate them from their Christian roots. You know, I'm a pastor of our church, and I'm sure Apostle can say the same thing. I see kids raised up in front of me. They finish school, they go to universities. They come back. They can't even lift their hands. They can't even pray. They can't even, they start questioning the miracles and signs and wonders. The one doctor, trained to be a doctor, grew up in the house of God. She said this, she says, I can believe for finances. I can believe for anything, but I can't believe for miracles. I've seen too much science. So what is happening here? The Babylonian system says, let's take the well-gifted. Let's isolate it into a humanism secular system. Into an environment. The environment will change them. But I'm here to say that that's not going to happen anymore. Because a governmental church, we're going to have a bungee cord, if I can use that word, attached to the children's ministry, attached to the youth, attached to the women, attached to the men, that when our children leave here, whatever the devil wants for them, that bungee cord is going to pull them back into the house of God. Come on, we're drawing a line tonight in the name of the Lord. We're going to train the children of House of Treasure Ministries the true biblical doctrines that you've been teaching. Teach them the word. Teach them the authority of the word. Teach them who they are. If you're not going to teach them, a teacher is going to teach them. You better get to your child before they get to school. Get the identity of the Lord in them. And in this church, it's going to happen. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, there are new systems coming into this church. Those new systems are not to keep them busy. It's to raise another generation of disciples. Not of churchgoers, of disciples. Followers of the Lord. May God raise up young people here tonight that are gifted, intellectual, well-spoken, well-mannered, that will possess the mountain of media, of education, come on, of politics, of the sports arena. And may you not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ ever. Come on, we need to raise up a standard a little bit. Hallelujah. So I declare no more isolation. From tonight you will feel the power of God, of an environment of spiritual family. The second thing the system did, not just isolation, but it removed their identification. Isolated them. And when they were isolated, they took their names away. Daniel's mom, she was a God-fearing woman. When Daniel was born, she named him Daniel. The word name Daniel, you can look in verse 7 of Daniel chapter 1. Look at verse 7. All the names of these children were given to them by God-fearing parents. Daniel. Mishael. Look at this. Unto whom the prince of the Enochs gave names. Go to verse 6. Let's start there. Among these of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hanan, Mishael, and Azariah. Keep it there. Just go back to verse 6 for the people. The parents of these four boys always attached the name of God to their names. Daniel, the last two letters is EL for Elohim, judge, the mighty one. So his parents said, you'll be Daniel, and every time I call you, your identity will be God is with you, he's the judge, the mighty one. Never forget your identity, Daniel. Hanan, the AH for Jehovah. Always remember your provider. And they started putting the names together of the Elohim, Jehovah Jireh, with their children. Nebuchadnezzar came and he says, I'm going to change it. Verse 7. You will no longer be Daniel. You will be called Belhazar, right? Which is a Babylonian god's name. So I'm going to change your whole name. That's who you will be. Shadrach, you call his name, Meshach. To Abednego, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, those are the names we know. But that's the Babylonian names. And God said here, I'm going to restore that again. You have to give your kid, you have to give your child identity. Family, before the world gives them the identity. The biggest problem right now in this nation, and I'm speaking around the world. I've just been in Europe. I can tell you all over the world. The number one thing that's the problem is identity. Nobody knows who they are. They don't know if they're a man, a woman, animal. They've got no clue who they are. As a matter of fact, you can go and read this up. There is a group in the USA, in Houston. They are called the Terranians. They are right now 3,000 members, citizens of this city. They believe they are animals. They bark like animals. They walk like animals. They act like animals. They identify themselves as animals. What you believe is how you will act. 3,000 members of a city that walks around with tails, barking like dogs. We have to bring identity to our families. I'm telling you today, the biggest problem is identification. And there are myths about identity. Listen to this. There are a few myths about identity. The first thing, myth, is that appearance is identity. Your appearance is not identity. You might have met your wife when she had the six-pack, but 28 years later, I'm sleeping next to a grandmother in the next 4 months. Appearance is not your identity. Your possessions is not your identity. Because the fact is you might lose it. The fact is you might gain. Thirdly, success is not your identity. Some people fail. I know people who commit suicide because they've lost everything. Success can never be your identity. And then your race is not your identity. Our race is not our identity. We had a great Heritage Day, everybody dressed on the cultural days, but that is not our identity. Our identity is found in God. Our identity is found in the Word of the Lord. Our identity is that we are one. I've got a brother in the Lord, may have a different color, but we are brothers in the Lord. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's nothing like that in the eyes of the Lord. We all have one Father. We have one Daddy, and that is our Abba Father. Come on, are you with me here tonight? So my race is not my identity. Cannot be. I found my identity in Christ. And when I find my new identity in Christ, all these things pass away. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 and 11 to 11 says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's very own possession. Come on, as a result, you can show others the goodness of God. He called you out of this darkness, out of darkness into His marvelous light. I love what it says here. Once you had no identity as people, but now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy. Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very own souls. How do I get my identity? Through the Word of the Lord. Through Scripture. Through coming together of the saints. Surrounding myself with the Word of the Lord in our lives. And so that is number two. Number three, what distinguished, He indoctrinated them. So He first isolated them, changed their identity. Now I'm going to indoctrinate you. He sent them to the Babylonian school. Started changing their language, their literature. And He started indoctrinating them not to think like Christians anymore. Not going to think like that. You're not a Christian. You must be all-inclusive. You must be acceptable. And He started changing them. Families are being dismantled at the moment. The attack is on families. Solid. I read the other night, and maybe I just read it 2 nights ago, that 40% of our nation, population, 40% of children are raised by single moms. That's unacceptable. Yeah, but she didn't treat me right, so I got a divorce. Listen, you're not going to be treated right in the workplace either. and you're not going to be treated right on the street, and you're not going to be treated right everywhere. That doesn't give you the excuse to pack your bags and leave your wife all by herself to raise the children. I pray that God will change that stats in our country. And I want to salute all the single women in this house tonight, wherever you are, raising children by yourself, packing the bags, getting the food on the table, taking them to school, still come to prayer, still come to church, still be in the house of the Lord while your children are at home. I salute you tonight. All the single women in this house, listen, may the Lord grant you blessings and favor, and may the Lord bless your home, and may the Lord bless your children. Come on, may that curse be broken over your life tonight. I say no more divorce over this church, over the people of God. Come on, woman. This is your hour, ladies. This is the hour for women to arise. May the Esthers and the Deborahs and the Abigails arise in this hour. Hallelujah. I pray for the woman here. Become influential. Become powerful. Become the woman that God has created you to be. To hell with the devil. He's not going to take your children. He's not going to take your families. He will not. The prayers of a mom shall avail. Come on, where's the moms in this house? The devil is not going to take your children. My wife here, beautiful woman. Outwardly, inwardly. But if you want to see a different side of her, touch those boys. That woman turns into something that I've never seen in my life. Woman, let me tell you, what will you do if somebody breaks into your house and steals your kid? That you will not stand for that. So why do we allow the devil to climb into our homes and steal our kids' morals and ethics and mannerisms? No, sir. No, devil. God is going to raise up women here tonight that's going to put you in your place and say, leave my kids alone. This is my property. This is my family. Hallelujah. Come on, where are those warring women here? Can I ask the women of this church to start praying for all the young people in the next couple of days that's in the schools and in the cities? Hallelujah. Change it. Train our kids in the ways of the Lord. There's one thing they tell me, I don't understand as a apostle. Where they say, they ask the kids, what would you like to eat? When I grew up, I ate what was set in front of me. You will eat that. I don't like it. What? You'll eat it today and tomorrow. Right? I was trained that when elderly people walk into a building or in a bus, you stand up. I'm still old school, sorry. But when a headmaster or even a pastor back then walked into a building, people would take their hats off. People had ties on. Now I'm seeing everywhere. Sometimes I go to conferences and it's youth conferences. We walk in as the elderly. I'm elderly. And they'll just park there. Don't even stand up. And it's nothing against you. It is just that we're going to have to bring back some stuff. Call me old school, whatever, but I'm going to say tonight that God must raise up young people that are skillful, that are able to serve in the palace, serve in the kingdom of God with ethics and manners that people can say, what is in you? I'm a child of God. I'm a king. I'm a priest. I'm a royal, peculiar person. Hallelujah. I want to come in for a close here tonight. Whew. He says this in verse 5. I'm going to give you gratification. So we see isolation, identification, indoctrination. And then he says, I'll give you some gratification. Here's what I'm going to do. I'll give you everything you want. 3 years of university paid up. I'll give you a good job. You're going to work for the government when you're done. For me, King Nebuchadnezzar. You can have all the best food. You can have a name. on one condition. Here we go. You must eat the food of the king. Food back then was a symbol that they gave to idols. Daniel said, I'm going to work for you. I'm going to take your money. I'm going to do the college. I'm going to do everything you want to the best of my ability. But my faith, here I draw the line. So I'll be in government. I'll be a teacher. I'll be the doctor. I'll be the lawyer. I'll be everything for you. But when it comes to my faith, here we are not compromising. Here we're not crossing that line. Here we are not going over. I'm still going to pray every day of my life. I'm going to still serve the Lord. I'm going to still seek the kingdom. Now look at this. This is powerful. Look at verse number 9. Verse 9. Look at this. Now God had brought Daniel into favor. God didn't do anything with the identification, isolation, indoctrination, until Daniel, in verse number 8, made a decision and drew a line. When he said, we're not going past this, God showed up and he says, now I'll bring favor to you. You see, we pray for favor, but we want to compromise. God says, draw the line. Where's the line? When once you draw the line, I'll step in and I'll bring favor. I'll bring loving kindness and tender love to my people. I believe we are drawing a line in the spirit tonight. We will work. We will do our best. We will do everything. But our faith will not be compromised. We are Christians. We are believers. We are radical people for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We are those people here tonight. Come on. Hallelujah. Girls, young ladies, draw the line. Just draw the line. Sorry, I'm a virgin. That's it. Don't touch my body. Draw the line. Because the lines are crosses, because nobody knows where's the line. Draw the line. Then favor comes. Come on, loving kindness comes. Tender loving care comes. That is when the favor of God activates, when I draw the line. I will not take the bribe. Sorry. I will not let you say that you've made me rich. I will not take a shoelace from you. The Lord is my God. The Elohim is my God. The Jehovah Jireh is the one that's going to lift me up. I'm drawing the line. Drawing the line. Come on, young people. I need you to get into that place where you say, I'm drawing the line. That's it. I'll work. I'll do my best. But I'm not going to compromise my faith. Because I'm part of a governmental church. Whatever your friends want to do, you're not doing that. You've drawn the line. And listen to this. In Daniel 1, where I've read you now, Daniel is a teenager. Only a teenager. In Daniel chapter 3, he's now a middle-aged man and they're going to go into the fire. The king said, listen man, I've given you your job. I've done everything for you. You need to now bow. He says, I told you, I'm not bowing my knees. I'm not going to do that. He says, well, then you're going to be fired. Put you in the fiery furnace. I'm going to fire you. And they did fire the three guys. But the same boss that fired them looked into the oven and said, I see a fourth man. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not see the fourth man, but the boss that fired them saw the favor and saw the miracle. He says, pull them out, pull them out, pull them out. He increased them. He made them priests. He made them kings. He made them, princes. He made them rulers. The same guy that fired them saw that they were not willing to compromise. And he, the Bible says, got saved and changed the laws. And said, now all of you are going to serve this people's God. I serve a God that can change laws, can change policies for His people. But you're going to have to draw that line, that the favor of God can be upon you. Hallelujah. Come on, the governmental church is going to rise up in this week. And we're going to stand strong. And when we stand strong, they may threaten, the devil might come, but I'm telling you, the fourth man is going to appear. And when we come out, we will not even smell like smoke. We're going to see the glory of the Lord. Give Jesus just 30 seconds of some praise for a breakthrough for South Africa. Hallelujah. And look at this. Look at this quickly. We are done. We are done. I want to pray for you. Daniel goes in verse 12. Look at verse 12 of Daniel chapter 3. Is it right? No. I think it's Daniel 1. But he said this to them. He says, no, Daniel chapter 3, sorry, verse 15 to verse 18. Now if you're ready at the time, you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, psaltery, symphony, of all kinds of music. You'll all fall down and worship the image which I've made. Good, but if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And he, and who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Now, if you carry on reading here, it speaks about the whole fiery furnace thing. But I want to draw your attention to a very interesting portion of scripture here, where it says, Daniel comes and he says to the king, he says, listen, I've got a God idea. I don't have a good idea. I've got a God idea. This is what I want you to do. Put us to the test. We're going to go for 10 days on fruit and water and vegetables. After 10 days, put us next to your most intellectual people, skillful people, people with understanding. And let's see the results of we doing our way, God's way, and you doing your way. 10 days later, they came together. And the Bible says this, that the king found in these men wisdom, understanding, appearance, everything good. And then he said this, he found them to be 10 times better than anyone else. When there's no compromise, God will exalt you. 10 times better than any competitor in your area or in your sphere of influence. And that is my prayer tonight, that God will raise up people in this hour that will be 10 times more intellectual, more full of wisdom and understanding and might. Come on, how many of you are believing that with me here tonight? How are we going to see the difference? You're going to be 10 times better. 10 times better than any competitor, than anyone opposing you. You're just going to rise up. People might want to fire you. They might put some stuff on you and lie about you. But I'm here to tell you tonight, God is raising you up. God is lifting you up. and you're going to become 10 times better in the name of Jesus. Come on, shout amen if you believe it here tonight. Hallelujah. So say this, I'm 10 times better. Let's stand to our feet. I'm going to stop here. Woo. By Sunday, the end of this conference, you are not going to recognize the person sitting next to you. I believe that, I believe it with my whole heart. This is not a cliche. But testimonies are going to flood in this next 3 days of promotion and of increase and of lifting up and of rising up. Come on, you're going to rise up. You're going to be lifted up. You're going to stand above 10 times better. And everything that opposes you is getting out of the way. Your breakthrough is here. Come on, your lifting up is here. Hallelujah. We praise you, God. Tonight, Father, I come and I bring every precious man and woman to you. Young and old. Rich and poor. Popular, unpopular. I pray in this anointing that this conference is set up now. Father, I pray that a revival shall come that will bring influence to your people, that will bring exaltation to your people, that shall bring the lifting up to your people, oh God. Lord, I pray that what you've done with Daniel, Father, you'll do with these people. They will become 10 times better in the name of Jesus. I speak it over your life. I declare it over your life. I attach it to your life. May the spirit of enlargement fall upon you in Jesus' name. The Lord is the lifter of your head. The Lord shall lift you up. And I declare unto you tonight that you are the head and that you are not the tail. You are above and not beneath. Come on, you're pushing forward, not backwards. And everything you've lost in the past couple of years, I declare years to be restored. Acceleration to come. Breakthroughs to come. Supernatural acceleration. Right now. Now. Be lifted up, church. And may the authority of the word rest upon you. And may your identity as kings and priests be released in a very supernatural way. In Jesus' name. Say this with me. I receive it by faith. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.